This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Marty Casper.
And my guest this morning is the CEO of Community Place of Greater Rochester, Scott Benjamin. Hello, Scott.
Hi, good morning.
Good
great
morning.
Good morning, Marty.
It's great to have you here, Scott. There's things happening at the Community Place. It's a big deal. It's a big year, isn't it? 20th anniversary. Tell us about it.
Well, it is. I mean, Community Place actually will be celebrating all this year its 20th anniversary since its creation. Although it really, we have our roots going back over 100 years.
Wow.
Because Community Place was the merger of three different settlement houses, Genesee Settlement, East Side Community, and Lewis Street Center, all here in the northeast quadrant of the city of Rochester.
So is that where you guys are right now, all under one building, or do you still have the three in those locations?
We still are located in multiple sites. So we are based on the corner of Central Park and Scio, the former East Side building on Parcells Avenue, and we also actually share the Carter Street R Center with the city. So those are our three locations, and the former Lewis Street Center, actually the YMCA uses, leases that space from us. So we're scattered around the Northeast, which is all part of really the settlement house model, being place-based and offering services where they're needed in the community.
You know, it was pretty cool about, 6 years ago or so, I got to tour a Community Place in the city. It was near the Armory. Am I correct? On Main Street? It was off of Main Street and up that way?
Well, I mean, that's probably the Parcells Avenue location.
Yes.
That really wouldn't be too far, you know, behind the Armory and so on in that area of the city.
Okay, yep. And I was amazed at how many programs there were, how many people were in there taking advantage of some of these things. And I got to say, Scott, your staff is pretty cool. There are some wonderful people.
Well, I won't argue at all about the amazing staff we have. They do a great job and really care about the people and the community and go beyond maybe what their particular program is to make sure that they're helping to connect people with what they really need and how we can help a family do what they really need to do.
Okay, so let's go back 100 years. And somebody said, we need this service in our neighborhood, so let's start this up. Is that how it happened? And what kind of services did people feel that they needed in Rochester? Homelessness? Did they need food or education? How does this work?
Well, it varied a little bit by center. And settlement houses in general, the whole idea is being, you know, place-based and building on the assets of the people in the neighborhood, as well as, you know, helping provide the supports that are needed. So oftentimes the settlement houses grew up in immigrant neighborhoods, and so they kind of coalesced around certain things, and whether it was language and youth programs and even things like homemaking skills and things like that, because a lot of the people were relatively new immigrants, in different parts of the city. So that's why, you know, Community Place is made up of three centers that came together, but you know, people have probably also heard of Baden Street Settlement that's in the Northeast, and I'm also with Charles Settlement House that's the Northwest, Montgomery Center in the Southwest. So you had different settlements. But in terms of the kinds of things, I'll give you an interesting example. The Lewis Street Center in its earliest days was one of the few places with running water.
Wow.
So people would actually come to Lewis Street Center and pay a nickel for a weekly bath in running water.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, so you name it, settlement houses did it and have been involved in different ways, different houses, different buildings used by, for health care. Over the years, it's been whatever has been needed. And in a lot of ways, it makes me think of what we've been going through in the past year.
Mm.
We've kind of had to adapt the same way. What are the needs, or how do we deliver the vital services that are needed in today's world?
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about that, Scott. What did happen? How did you have to change? I mean, you're essential, so you can't shut down. Is that correct?
Yeah, we actually never completely shut down. Family services in particular, which provides basic needs, never missed a day. So we altered the delivery of some of our programs. We had some in-person staff. Some could go all virtual. Some programs got suspended for a while. So I guess looking at family services is probably the one that has just had a crazy year and could never shut down. So besides food assistance, which is, day-to-day kind of program,
mm-hmm.
We increased the amount of personal hygiene items that we were distributing, because that became, as you remember, a lot of things you just couldn't get on store shelves.
Yeah.
And as low-income people had their hours cut or lost their jobs, those are the kinds of things that were really in high demand. Cleaning supplies and personal protective equipment became the kinds of things that we had to, find and help distribute, both to people that might have been previous consumers of ours, but people who had never walked through our door before but needed help because they had lost work and couldn't find or couldn't afford some of those kinds of things. So we worked with our partners like United Way and, through government, not only what we were able to purchase, but what, were donated items in some cases then for us to give out to consumers over the past year. So that's been a huge part of the work over the past year.
That's just insane. Wow. Well, speaking of that, people were hard hit. Some lost jobs or got a reduction in hours. And financially, it's been a tough year, tough, tough year. So what do you do about rent and mortgage assistance?
Well, that's an area that Community Place, we have provided a limited amount of rent and mortgage assistance over the years, but it's always had extremely tight parameters because, we don't have the kind of funding where you can support somebody for a long period of time. It's always been based on, if you fell behind and, you need help to make up for a month and, you've got work or you've got the income to take care of it, there were ways we could help people. That, of course, really just blew up right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then late summer, early fall, we became part of a program called the Eviction Prevention Pilot Initiative. And so Monroe County and the city used federal pandemic stimulus money from the CARES Act and piloted a program with about a half dozen agencies in the city. And we were happy to be one of them, where we were able to help people with up to 5 months of rent or mortgage.
Wow.
Now, to give you an idea, and there were certain criteria, had to be COVID related and they had to be able to move forward with the payments. But to give you an idea of how much demand there was, we went through the full $600,000 of assistance within 4 months.
Oh my God.
It might have been closer to three.
Wow.
With several hundred families just through Community Place. But it helped avoid evictions and people falling even farther behind with rent and mortgage payments, because it hit everybody. It wasn't just people that might come to us periodically.
True.
As consumers. This hit people who never thought that they would be wondering how to pay their rent.
Yeah, I was told once everybody's one paycheck away from being down and out.
Yeah, it really, it can happen mm-hmm. so quickly, and it snowballs quickly. And depending on your situation, and we had things in place and still have things in place about eviction prevention, but that doesn't mean that the rent becomes free.
Right.
And so, you know, people are falling behind, and we are, it looks like we will be part of a similar but slightly expanded version of this program that will be starting up again within a few weeks, again with the county and the city using more of the federal money that was targeted specifically for eviction prevention.
Cool.
And this is going to be only for rent as opposed to mortgage. And most of the people that it came to us were for rental assistance as it was, but I expect us to be, you know, probably doubling the amount of people we serve this year.
Wow. Wow. Do you feel you're ready for it as far as spacing goes and stuff like that?
Yeah, we actually, that's been one of the things that we had to adapt to. We had always been completely on site, so people always brought their paperwork to us, and, you know, it was a hard copy, paper-intensive process.
Yeah.
And we had to adapt to where we do interviews virtually, and you allow scanned documents of, that are emailed in and so on. And so while there's still in-person contact, we are able to do much more of it virtually to verify things. And you know, that took a change and a little bit of equipment and so on, but mostly more of a change in process and how you work with people.
How are you guys funded?
Oh, all over the map.
loaded question, right?
Yeah, because of the nature, the wide variety of programs, United Way is a major funder of ours. And, you know, I have to give a shout out to United Way, especially as they're in the campaign right now for this year. They fully funded all of the agencies that were expecting funding starting last August.
Wow.
When the funding year starts. And even though their campaign fell short, ESL actually stepped up and fully funded the basic needs providers. And that was one of the categories our Family Services Department falls into. So we, you know, and they actually let us be more flexible with how we spent the money, with the idea that we could keep our people working and adapt to how we were doing things. So United Way is big, and besides Family Services, they are one of our funders for some of our youth programs. We have government money because we serve people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and prevention services that are around substance abuse and alcohol prevention services. We have some contracts on a small basis with the school district because some of our youth workers do things directly in the city schools. And of course, private donations and fundraisers and foundation support, those kinds of things. So that's just a variety. Some of our services are funded through the county as well. So
you're right. It's really a lot of places.
It's a jigsaw puzzle. And in a lot of ways, that's really the way our programs are, because it's everything from early childhood to senior programs. So it runs the gamut, and you just put it all together from different sources.
Then you make it work. Yeah, the community place programs include youth, aging, like you were saying, intellectual developmental disabilities, the alcohol substance abuse you also mentioned. And then there's the Threshold Learning Center. And don't you do have English as a second language classes?
Well, we do help people with that English is their second language. A big part of that is geared toward getting people their high school equivalency, what used to be called GED, but, like so many things, the names change every few years. But so we're helping the older teens and young adults with that. And that actually came, the reason it's we call it the Threshold Learning Center is there was a an agency in town called Threshold, and we actually took over the prevention programs and the learning center from Threshold, and then Jordan Health Center has a clinic for that same age group in our building. They took over the healthcare side of Threshold, so. So that's also, I guess I would say, another piece that the settlement houses have always realized. While we try to do things across the spectrum, we very much partner with other organizations to bring services into the neighborhoods using our buildings. And the fact that we are, you know, place-based to provide the biggest bang that we can for the services that are needed.
Sure. Now, before we wrap things up, Scott, where do you see the future of nonprofits and human services this year and beyond that? So many things have changed.
Well, I think all of us had to learn to adapt quickly and on the fly and realize that what was the way we were going to do things this week might not be the way we do things next week. And so the organizations that were able over the past year to really adapt and still thrive and maintain services, I think have actually learned a lot and, you know, we hope have earned the trust and support of even more people. I think the challenge going forward is there was in our community an outpouring of support specifically geared to provide funds for human service agencies because of COVID. And you know, the economy is still not back to where it was. It's got a long way to go. So what does that mean for, you know, philanthropy and so on to support a lot of the services? And I think that's a question that we're all going to deal with. We've all tried to be cautious going into this new environment. But at the same time, that can't mean that we just, you know, sit back and think it's all going to return to normal. We'll continue to do some things virtually. Some of our program, like our youth programs, are fewer children right now because of spacing needs and so on, but we're able to help them with their hybrid learning and get them into some other activities. And we hope at some point we can get back to the kind of numbers we used to have. But we learned a lot about staying in touch with families and doing some activities virtually and giving kits to people to do things with their kids in their homes. So I hope that some of those kinds of things we learn we'll keep building on.
Yeah, technology, it's great. I mean, seriously, it's helped
when
out
it
a
works,
lot through that.
Right?
Yeah, when it works. When it doesn't, we're all, you know, up a creek without a boat and a paddle.
Yes.
But anyway, all right. So, Scott, there's so many things happening at Community Place, so many programs that you offer. If somebody listening right now feels that they're in need of something that you can provide through Community Place, what's the website, or can they call anybody?
Sure. So the easiest place is if you go to the website, communityplace.org. It not only, you know, has a good overview of the programs, but it has a contact page that makes it easy for people to contact. They could also, if people wanted to volunteer or provide other ways to support Community Place, you can just email development@communityplace.org. And, you know, our general number is 585-327-7200. And so that way, you know, then we can get you to whatever department you need to be at to talk to people.
And you can also see 20th anniversary things.
Yes. Yeah, we're excited. We're, you know, again, it'll be different. We won't have, you know, most of our things that we're planning will be virtual or small enough because we just don't know where things are going over
yeah.
the course of the year. But keep an eye on the website for things like our Art of Giving event later this year and some fundraisers that we'll be putting on throughout the year and just ways to help let people know more about what we do.
Sounds good. Again, the website is communityplace.org. I've been speaking with the CEO, Scott Benjamin. Scott, it's a pleasure. And thank you for telling us so much about Community Place of Greater Rochester. You guys are doing great things.
Well, thanks, Marty. We really appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.